Hi, this is Aaron Crocco.
And I'm Gozer.
And we're from the GeekCast, which you can find at www.geekcastonline.com. And you're listening to Strangely Literal with Tabs.
Dislike that Anya. She's newly human and strangely literal.
What? I don't say that. No one says that. No one talks that way.
Strangely Literal, the podcast.
So here's the part where you make a choice.
Deborah Book was just telling us funny stories about his life at the monastery.
This goes beyond anything I've ever done. It's a total loss of control. And not in a nice, wholesome, my girlfriend has pierced tongue kind of way.
I think you've already figured out I'm not the poster boy for normal.
I've given some thought to moving off the edge. Not an ideal location.
Hello, listeners. You're listening to Strangely Literal. Tabs can't be here today because she's prepping hard to work on her grad school stuff. So she asked for a couple of guest hosts, and of course I volunteered. Anything for my BFF Tabs. So today we have a really great story, and I want to introduce it. But first I also want to mention that this story is being read by Faith, the Vampire Slayer, who is also fantastic in so many ways. So I hope you really enjoy her reading. And this story is called Just Between Us Girls. It's a Buffy-centric story. And it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed this one. It's got some good Buffy Darla stuff going on. And definitely some hints as to other interesting stuff. This is one piece of a longer story. So if you want to check out the whole story, you can find it in the show notes. I think that's about it. I hope you all are enjoying Strangely Literal, even while Tabs is gone. And I'm sure I'll be around at least one more time before she returns. So enjoy!
Time for some thrilling heroics. Here's how it is.
You get killed, I'm telling.
Okay, that's new.
Just Between Us Girls, written by Darkest Boy, read by Faith, the Vampire Slayer. Chapter 1. It was a plan. It wasn't the greatest of plans. It was hardly something you would deem elegant, but Darla did not care. For the longest time, she held the hope that he loved her, that some part of him, deep inside, still cared for her. He didn't. They slept together after months of denials, failed attempts to save and kill her, and other discrepancies. Regardless of centuries and decades, the two of them had been through so much that the idea of him being so willing to toss it and her away angered her like nothing she ever knew. She needed to get away. She needed to think. Lindsay was kind, but like so many humans, he was too blinded by his emotions to properly see what anyone else would have no difficulty in seeing. As she made her way to the station, Darla could only think of one destination. "I'd like one ticket for Sunnydale, please," Darla smiled at the counter as the sullen woman behind the desk gave her the ticket before casually slurping her coffee and tending to another customer. If she had the time, she'd have feasted on the woman, but her bus was leaving, so she dashed towards it. Hours on a cramped bus, looking at everyone else around, wasn't doing much for Darla. Noisy kids, aggravated parents, wistful college kids. The whole experience was nauseating enough to make her want to heave. It also didn't help that her stomach was growling as well. "An angel relishes this kind of lunacy," she thought, and mumbled angrily to herself. "I don't see a damn human on this bus that's worth saving if their life was in danger. In fact, I'd kill a lot of them if I could get away with it." Finally, after what had felt like the journey from hell, Darla was in Sunnydale. The place literally hadn't changed since the last time she had been there. Darla then thought about that night. That night when Angel chose another woman over her and killed her without a care. "It's all that bitch's fault. Let's see how much Angel cares when I kill her." And with that, Darla headed to her destination, pulling a girl into a dark corner, draining her dry, and dropping her corpse like it was the least important thing in the world. She needed that blood after that journey. Besides, there was only so much inane chatter she could hear about Survivor. Buffy had been home alone for the past while. Joyce had been on a string of dates, and Dawn was staying with Janice, so all Buffy wanted to do was curl up in her bed and happily pretend the last couple of hours never happened. That would have been a lot easier to do if Spike would just leave her alone. The deluded vampire chained her up in his crypt with Drusilla in some bizarre attempt to prove that he sincerely loved her. If it hadn't been for Harmony, Buffy might still be with him and Drusilla. Who'd have thought that I'd be thanking Harmony? Isn't that a hell of a thing? Spike was pacing the front yard, smoking. He wanted to apologize, and if she'd at least come as far as the window, he would do it. Unfortunately, Spike knew Buffy far better than she thought he did, and the only thing she was going to do was probably stake him if he didn't leave her alone. Any other vampire would do that, just simply walk away or run frantically for their lives in order to avoid the Slayer's wrath. Spike reckoned that him and Buffy had too much history to simply do that. Besides, he was cowardly, and one of the many things that Spike prided himself on being was the fact that he wasn't a coward. "You've got to come out sometime, Summers," Spike shouted at the window. "You can't just ignore me forever." For a second or two, there was no reply. Then the front door opened. Buffy stood there, stake in hand. The look on her face wasn't a good sign. This whole stalking thing might have been a turn-on for many of the half-wits you've sunk your fangs into. Buffy looked at him intently, her voice sharp. "But I'm going to make this clear, so listen up, because I don't intend on repeating it. I'm not interested in you. Not now, not ever." "But you didn't say that about Angel," Spike threw back at her defensively. He was clutching at straws. "You know, I might have killed more people than I can count on both hands, but unlike your do-gooder ex, at least I haven't killed any of your pal's significant others. Can you say the same about him?" Buffy paused with that remark, clearly thinking of Jenny Callender. As Angelus, Jenny met a grisly and untimely end, nearly destroying Giles in the process. For Spike to bring it up in a desperate bid to earn brownie points only ignited one response. "You're right," Buffy said, as Spike's features began to soften. Buffy punched him hard across the face and slammed him against a tree when he recovered from the punch. "What the—" Spike found a hand clamped over his mouth, with Buffy pinning him to the tree. He struggled for a second, and then relaxed. If she wanted him dead, there'd be no better chance than now to do it. Luckily for him, she didn't. He was helpless against her to an extent anyways, and Buffy was using that to her advantage. "You ever bring up something like that again, and I will kill you. Do you understand?" Buffy snarled at him. "Angel, Angelus, there's a distinction. Am I clear?" Spike nodded, muffling his assent. Buffy released her hand from his mouth and stepped back into her house. "Get out of my sight, Spike, now!" "You're lost, Slayer," Spike groaned, shrugging off her attempts to rough him up as he walked off. Even he knew when to give something a rest. Spike had smoked the last of his cigarette, stubbing it out on a tombstone. His crypt had been open, and given how he was feeling, Spike could do with a smackdown. He could do with pounding the living daylights out of some lower-level demon. A part of him was so psyched that he immediately rushed for the crypt without thinking. Never a good thing. "Not another crazy bird. Wasn't three enough tonight?" "William, I think you and I have some catching up to do." Alexia had smiled at him, knife edging his throat. "About those kittens, can I just—" Spike tried to reason, noticing that two demonic goons, her muscle, were advancing towards him. "I'd rather you didn't," she smiled. "Deal with him. Trash the place. I'm going to see what he actually does own that might repay his debt." Another knock had been coming from the door. Buffy was determined to ignore it. Maybe it was Spike trying another approach. She knew he was more relentless when he set his mind to it. Three more knocks, making it four, and Buffy with steak in hand decided to answer the door. "If that's you, Spike," Buffy muttered as she began to open the door, "you're really going to be sorry for disrupting me like this." When she opened the door, she didn't have time to register her relief in it not being Spike that awaited her. Shock took over her instead. Her guest was someone she had known was long dead. At least that was what she thought she knew. "What the hell?" "That's as good as any place to start," Darla smiled. Buffy hadn't time to use the steak. Darla floored her with one punch, knocking her out cold. "It's been a while." Darla smiled at the unconscious Slayer, closing the door behind them. Revenge would be sweet. It would be very sweet. Chapter 2. Willow always liked this part, when it was just her, Tara, and soft bedsheets with some romantic but not cliché music playing on the stereo. After their phone call with Buffy about Spike's latest stunt, in the last couple of days, all Willow wanted was some time alone with her girlfriend. The two of them had kissed passionately, undressing one another as they headed for the bed in the heat of the moment. For Willow, sex had been something that she had been self-conscious, at first with Oz and even with Tara, but she had been fortuitous twice in having understanding and caring partners. A soft murmur came from Willow as Tara had risen from the sheets, first kissing her chest and then her neck before everything fell beautifully into place. The look on both women was of love and satisfaction. They rested in each other's arms, unable to stop smiling. This was heavenly. The whole world could collapse, and Willow wouldn't notice or care, given the serenity she was feeling right now with her lover. "That was amazing," Willow breathed as she stroked Tara's hair out of her face. Tara smiled affectionately at her. "It's been a while, but it was worth it," Tara agreed. "I think we deserve some time alone." "It's been one thing after another, hasn't it?" Willow said as she snuggled a little closer to her lover. "Dracula, Glory, Donnie being the key, and your..." "Family," Tara finished for her. "I've not forgotten." "It's just something we didn't really discuss at all," Willow continued. "I mean, when I think of family, I think of my own parents. I think of the Scoobies, and I think of you, and I think how good that makes me feel." "And my family don't," Tara said sadly. "They didn't make you feel good," Willow said. "That's what makes me sad. I mean, you're this wonderful, caring person, and your family made you believe that you were a demon. Have you talked to them since?" "Dad called a couple days ago," Tara said. Willow looked surprised. "I was going to tell you, but I guess other things did sort of get in the way." "What did he say?" Willow asked. She wasn't mad at Tara for not telling her about the call, just concerned. "He apologized," Tara sighed as she began to sit up. "Then he talked about my mother for a bit. It was the first time in a while he did that." Willow absorbed the words, but said nothing. She had suffered some heartbreaks in her time, but nothing compared to the loss of a parent. Willow couldn't begin to imagine what that must have been like for Tara to deal with. Tara ran her fingers through her hair, almost like she was trying to clear some of her thoughts. "You miss her," Willow smiled emphatically. "Your mom, I mean." "Very much," Tara sighed, half smiling at Willow. As Tara got out of bed, she put on a blouse and the bottom of some pajamas as Willow sat up on the bed, unsure of whether or not she wanted to get out of it. She pulled Tara in for a kiss before Tara broke the kiss, her mind now focusing on something else. "You want to order some pizza?" Tara offered as she picked up the phone on the drawer. "Maybe something a little spicy?" "I could do with a little bite," Willow smiled, then looked a little sheepish. "Food-wise, that is. Everything else is just gravy." Tara smiled and began dialing. There had been a part of her relieved that she was able to open up to Willow about her past. She hated lying about her family background when they were first dating. It was a relief to have some things out in the open. Buffy groaned as her vision came back to her. Before she could bring a hand to her head, she noticed she was bound to a chair. As her vision came back to her, she could see a familiar face standing over her with her arms folded. Darla had brought her into the kitchen. On the counter laid out some knives and other cutlery, clearly to intimidate Buffy. Buffy groaned, thinking the vampire would have to try a lot harder than that to scare her. I know I'm good at the old punching, but I didn't think that had much effect, the blonde vampire snarled at her. I think you're beginning to lose your edge, Buffy. I hear that happens with humans when they age. Even slayers aren't impervious to it. What do you want? Buffy asked, sound coming back to her voice, her head still a little woozy from Darla's Rocky-like moment. Darla wasn't impressed. That's all I get? She asked the slayer. Aren't you curious about how I'm back from the undead, so to speak? What can I say? Buffy smiled at her as she tugged at her restraints. You're sort of small potatoes compared to what I'm currently up against. Darla paused for a moment before doing anything. She didn't want to let Buffy rile her. That wouldn't do her any favors, but Darla couldn't resist. Within a second, she slapped the slayer across the face before grabbing her hair and vamping out, baring her teeth threateningly at the girl. How do I look now? Darla growled at her, her teeth almost grazing the slayer's neck. All she had to do was go deeper, and she'd kill the slayer. Angels certainly wouldn't be impressed with that, the blonde vampire thought to herself and smiled. Fine, then, Buffy gritted her teeth angrily. She'd played Darla's little game for a bit until an advantage arose for her to strike back. How are you back? Who did this? With that, Darla let go of Buffy's hair and changed her face back into a human visage, before circling around the slayer, running her hands through her hair before putting them on her hips. Darla then faced Buffy, her hands on the slayer's shoulders. Let's just say a higher power realized I wasn't done with the mortal coil just yet, Darla smiled. Ever heard of Wolfram in Heart? No. If that's the case, should I be looking over my shoulder for the Master and the Anointed One? Buffy asked, her tone deliberately flippant. Darla shrugged, deciding to let the pithy comment go. Providing no one from Buffy's little gang or biological family were about to gatecrash just yet, she had plenty of time to make the slayer scream, and she certainly intended on doing that. All kidding aside, why are you here? Buffy asked, slightly getting her restraints loose, but not enough to break free. And this time, a serious answer would be nice. That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? Darla smiled at her enemy. Maybe I miss this quaint little town, seeing as it's on a hellmouth. Oh, wait, that's not it. Do I have to spell out why I'm here, Summers? Revenge, Buffy sighed. I hope you're not planning on holding me hostage in the hopes of leading Angel into a trap. He's kind of left this town a long time ago, and these ropes aren't going to hold me for long. Just thought I'd warn you, between us girls and all. Well, just between us girls and all, perhaps I should be honest with you as well, Darla smiled, determined to sour the other girl's mood. I've already seen Angel, and I mean in the biblical sense. When we weren't trying to kill each other, and he wasn't making pathetic bids to save my soul, of course. Our love is something romantic songs don't disclose. That's unlikely to be said about yours. What? Buffy asked, confused but feeling sick in her gut. He wouldn't, would he? No way! Just because you look like butter wouldn't melt doesn't mean you're naive, Darla said. I screwed around with him, and now I'm going to kill you, just because. Actually, I think that's my job, another voice called out, unless she gives me what I want. If not, I'll probably have to kill you both, just because. Both Buffy and Darla turned around. In the doorway of the kitchen stood another woman, dressed as if she was going out on the lash. She was petite, freckles, ginger hair, a menace in her eyes that Darla couldn't help but admire. Darla also noticed that Buffy suddenly looked worried, making Darla conflicted about the intruder. Chapter 3. This is interesting. If I had known there was going to be a slumber party, I would have brought my favorite bath salts. Isn't that what you pesky humans do in times like these? Glory's voice dripped with an icy sarcasm that perturbed Darla. Darla had worked out quickly that woman was something other than human and a threat to Buffy, but Darla also had the suspicion that the woman could easily become a threat to her as well. Buffy was relieved to find that her bonds were beginning to loosen as she tugged on them further and further. As you can tell, she doesn't exactly have friends, Buffy muttered to Darla as she asked the goddess, What do you want? What I've always wanted from you, Slayer. My key. And seeing that you're in a precious moment, I don't think you're in much of a position to refuse me. Glory smiled before catching Darla's look of annoyance. I don't think we've been formally introduced. I'm Glory. Darla, the vampire said as she cautiously shook the other woman's hand. If the woman proved to be trouble, Darla would kill her. How long have you two been bosom buddies? Glory asked, noticing Buffy was beginning to get free. Oh, Buffy and I go way back. Darla glanced at the Slayer before turning her attention back to Glory. Old scores to settle, so why don't you just tear the place apart for your key while I'll tear the Slayer to pieces? I prefer to do things my way, Glory snickered, dismissing the vampire. I don't take orders, being a god and all. Not a very good one at that, Buffy muttered to herself. I wasn't asking. Get gone, Darla snapped. I have my own business to settle, and I have no interest in yours. You know, suddenly I don't think I like you anymore, Glory frowned, feigning hurt. And here I thought we had so much in common, being both gorgeous and enemies of the Slayer. I guess I should be used to disappointment in this world. Before Darla could respond, Glory backhanded the vampire, sending her flying out the back door before turning her attention to Buffy. Well, this makes things easier, Buffy smiled, free from her bonds. Glory didn't have time to respond before Buffy drop-kicked her out the back door, grabbing a stake from the drawer and heading out to face her attackers. I really don't like uninvited guests, Buffy said as she faced Glory and Darla. Both women had dusted themselves off, preparing to take the Slayer on. The thing about not liking me? Darla turned to the flame-haired woman. Yeah? Glory asked. Best put it at one side if you want your key, Darla said. I propose an alliance. What do you say? Glory paused, thinking for a moment, then relented. Consider it done. With that, both vampire and goddess launched their attack on the Slayer. Either way, both of them were going to get what they wanted, and one of them was going to kill her. At this point, Darla desperately wanted to be the one to do it. Xander and Anya had agreed to do a light patrol for Buffy, given her counter with Spike. Buffy hadn't been particularly shaken up by the experience, but Xander did get the strong feeling that she wanted to be alone. Both him and Anya had nothing pressing to be getting on with, so they had agreed to patrol for their friend. Look what we've got here, a nice couple to feast on, growled a gnarly-looking vampire with two others who were dressed similarly to him. Oh, that's us all right, Xander replied. Too bad we're not for chomping. I take first dibs on the girl, the other vampire said, giving Anya a lascivious look. Anya looked at him icily. Times like these, I wish I were a vengeance demon, Anya muttered, gripping her stake as the vampires charged towards her and Xander. I almost wish the same thing, Xander said, not meaning it, but some firepower beyond stakes would have been good. Where's Willow and Tara when you need them? This talk, more dying, snarled the third vampire as they drew close to the carpenter and his ex-demon lover. Anya had managed to duck while the pervy vampire that had designs on her smashed his face against a mausoleum. Anya didn't give him time to recover. The vampire screeched as she drove the stake into him harder than necessary. No one dictates taking dibs on me, Anya smiled proudly to herself as the second vampire lunged on her, pinning her to the ground. Anya's stake had been knocked away from her. She was unable to reach it. A little help here, she cried, trying to kick the creature off with no success. Xander was receiving some hits to the face when he heard Anya in distress. He then kneed the vampire in the chest before punching the back of the creature and staking him. I've always wondered what an ex-demon tastes like, the remaining vampire snarled, baring his teeth, preparing to sink them into Anya's neck. Then he let out a low groan before collapsing into dust. Guess you won't find out any time soon, Xander rasped a little, helping Anya to her feet as she dusted herself off. Are you okay? Better than him, Anya pointed as a familiar face appeared. Not you again, Xander muttered in disgust. Still stalking my friend? Spike was covered in bruises and scratches, all darting across his face. His lip was cut and parts of his clothing had been ripped. Xander also noticed that he seemed a little out of it. "This has nothing to do with Buffy," Spike said, not looking at him. "So Drusilla gave you a once-over?" Anya asked. "You know, I once called a vampire to have her lover impaled with a cross for eternity in his chest. I look back on it now and laugh, of course." Spike gave her a look of contempt, which angered Xander. That was something that Anya picked up on. "Though undoubtedly as a vampire, you're probably not going to see the funny side of things," Anya softened a little.
"Don't apologize to him," Xander told her. "I'm sure whatever happened to him was his own doing. It's not just us who hate you, Spike."
"You really think I give a monkey's about what a geek like you thinks of me?" Spike smirked. "Why don't you stay behind your ex-demon and piss off?" Xander went to strike Spike before Anya pulled him back.
"That's not going to help anything," she muttered.
"See, she's even smarter than you, Harris," Spike grinned at Xander, turning his back from the angry young man. In the old days, he would have ripped Xander's throat out for something like that. Times like these, he wished more than ever to be free of that wretched chip.
"Fine," Xander grimaced before turning to leave.
"Oh, and Spike, stay the hell away from Buffy, because if you ever pull a stunt with her like you did tonight, I will kill you. Just between us guys."
"I'm not what she needs to worry about," Spike muttered to himself as he headed back to his crypt. He needed to tidy the place up. He needed to rest. Going outside hadn't been the brightest of ideas.
Chapter 4. "Not at your personal best, are you, sweet cheeks?" Glory snickered as she delivered a punch to Buffy's chest. It winded Buffy for a moment, but not before she was able to send Glory flying back with a strong enough kick to the chest herself. The goddess hissed as she went back, while Darla used the time to throw Buffy into a few neighboring trash cans, just before darting over to the Slayer before she could get to the ground.
"I take it you've managed to piss off more than just the vampire community since the last time we met," Darla said in a matter-of-fact voice.
Buffy kicked out towards the vampire, sending her back a few steps, but not knocking her down. Buffy used the time to get back up on her own feet, stake in hand, and charged at her. Darla was ready and sent her hurtling towards a nearby car. For a second, Glory had watched them. Whoever the other blonde woman was, she had a far stronger grudge against the Slayer than she did. All Glory wanted at the end of the day was her key. She didn't give a monkey's about the Slayer and her irritating pals. Using the distraction, Glory decided to go back into Buffy's house and try to locate the key. With the Slayer getting the crap kicked out of her by the embittered vampire, it was a good window of opportunity to do some uninterrupted snooping.
"Oh, no, you don't," Buffy grimaced as she noticed Glory heading back into her house.
Darla pulled her back. "I'm not done with you, Summers," the vampire hissed. Buffy smacked her right in the jaw. Darla enjoyed the pain.
"Too bad."
Buffy made an attempt to head back into the house, but Darla clubbed her over the head with a rock she'd found. Buffy fell to the ground, losing her senses as she began to black out. Darla stared at her enemy for a moment. All she had to do was snap the bitch's neck and she'd be done with it. She'd get her own back on him, on her, on all of them.
"Isn't that what they deserve?"
"Yes. Yes, it is." Then Darla noticed the car she had slammed Buffy into during their outdoor brawl had its front window smashed in. Darla had almost found it odd that virtually no one came to the aid of two adult women beating the living daylights out of each other. She even thought it was odd that no one had called the police.
So much for community service.
Oh, wait, spoke too soon. The sirens of an oncoming police vehicle were enough for Darla to get inside the car, dragging Buffy into the vehicle with her. To Darla's amazement, she actually found a pair of handcuffs in the glove compartment and used them on Buffy before hot-wiring the thing and driving off. As she began to flee the scene with the police officers in pursuit, Darla could hear the owner of the car she had liberated yelling expletives at her. She looked at Buffy, who was still unconscious. The last thing that Darla needed was a backseat driver.
"Now where do I take you, Summers?" Darla mused to herself. "If I get any more interruptions tonight."
Ransacking the house of a Slayer hadn't exactly been Gloria's idea of fun. Within 10 minutes, she had completely gone through every single room in the downstairs area, including the basement,
to find nothing of actual use. Household appliances had no significance to her, and she had plenty of weapons of her own at the Slayer's more primitive tools almost made her chuckle. Lori then found Buffy's room with an eerie precision. She had been in the house about a week ago and had found nothing then. She was hoping the Slayer had let her guard down. Wherever she's hiding that key, I'm going to find it. No way a stupid Slayer is going to get the best on me. I'm a god, for crying out loud. Clearly this girl has civilization issues, Glory said, mocking with disdain as she picked up one of Buffy's sweaters and tossed it aside. I wouldn't use this as a dishcloth. Her smile then curved as she realized she was no longer alone. You know, it's rude to sneak up on a girl. Turn around slowly, the voice said in a grave manner. I'll not ask a second time. If you insist, though it'll be the last thing you ask. Glory couldn't help but smile. Whoever had the audacity to sneak up behind her was going to regret it. First, she'd brain suck them, due to the fact that it was snack time. And then she'd snack their neck. As soon as she turned around, she immediately recognized the male figure who had aimed a crossbow directly at her throat. It wouldn't kill her, but it certainly wouldn't do her vocal cords any good if he was lucky enough to get in a decent aim. It's you, Glory said, her voice feigning shock. Where's Buffy? Giles asked, his focus on the woman. You know, it's funny. I got here and another woman had her tied to a chair. Glory kept her focus on Giles' hardened glance, ignoring the crossbow. Then they decided to take it outside. I'm guessing it was some sort of lover's tiff, but I can never tell with you lot. You're just so unpredictable. I guess if you weren't, you would have done the smart thing by now and given me my key. Who was the woman? Glory laughed. Giles gritted his teeth as he moved in closer. The tip of the arrow was now on Glory's throat. Answer me! Giles yelled, worry etching his face. If Glory hadn't Buffy, then who did? Sorry, Bubs, but I've answered enough questions, and I've indulged this farce long enough, too. With that, Glory smacked the crossbow out of Giles' hand, managing to snap it in half during the process. What are you going to do now, Gramps? The goddess smiled at him. This. Giles punched her hard into the face in a moment of anger. He was a capable fighter, but even he knew that he didn't have the strength to do any lasting damage to Glory. However, his anger and fear had gotten the better of him in that moment. Glory felt a little disoriented for a second, but before Giles could do anything else, she gripped his throat hard, slowly beginning to crush his windpipe. I was gonna be fair. I would have just sucked your brain out, hoping that would be enough of a message for your precious Buffy to do the right thing. Glory's smile disappeared as she slammed Giles against the wall. Guess I'm going to have to do it the hard way now. Giles found himself struggling more and more for breath. He clutched at Glory as he tried to loosen her grip from around his throat. He could see that she was about to bring her other hand to his temple as she began to loosen her grip on him. Now both hands were at his temples. The devilish smile of hers returned. Discade! Not again, Glory's voice etched with disgust. How did those wicked bitches sneak up on her? Glory managed to briefly look at Willow in terror before disappearing. She was dreading to think where she was going to end up next because of their nasty little smell. As Glory disappeared, Tara went to stop Giles from falling. Are you all right? The brunette witch asked him as she helped him to rest on Buffy's bed. Giles, what happened downstairs? This place is a mess, Willow asked. Where's Buffy? Did Glory? Not Glory, Giles answered, his voice strained due to Glory's hand on his neck a few seconds prior to the girl's arrival. Then who? Tara asked. All three of them looked at each other. Up until that point, Glory had been their big concern. Then who? Tara asked. All three of them looked at each other. Up until that point, Glory had been their big concern. But aside from trashing the place, or at least contributing to it, and trying to kill Giles, it wasn't Glory who had Buffy. "We're here," snapped a harsh voice as a cupped Buffy found herself being dragged out of a car she didn't remember being dragged into in the first place. She was too groggy to fight back, but as her vision was returning and she was tossed to the floor, she knew the place she had been dragged to like the back of her hand. It was the Bronze. "What are we doing here?" Buffy growled at the vampire. "Good question. Very simple answer," Darla said matter-of-factly, her voice channeling no emotion at all. "This is where it ends, Buffy. You and me. This is where it ends. It might even give you a fair fight. Don't be shocked if I don't, though." With that, there were no more words. Darla lunged for Buffy with the intent to kill her. This was going to be the place where she would carry it out. Only this time, no one or nothing was going to get in her way. Chapter 5. Buffy dodged as Darla made a savage leap for her throat. She was grateful that the vampire had cuffed her hands in front rather than behind. As Darla turned around, Buffy was then able to smack her across the face with a pool cue. "Not so rough and ready now, are you?" Buffy glared at the woman. She broke the cue in half, giving her two stakes, two essential weapons.
"Don't you want to know?" Darla asked, her visage in vampire form. "Why I was brought back? Aren't you curious?" "Hate to break it to you, but you're not the only person who's died and lived to tell the tale," Buffy said. "I suggest asking the Master, but he's not around either." "You killed him," Darla realized. She wasn't angry, although she had cared about her sire a great deal. There was part of her unsurprised that Buffy had murdered him. "Yes," Buffy's voice was harsh. "And this time, I'm going to make sure you stay dead, too. I don't care how you were brought back." Darla knew Buffy's next move, even before the Slayer could have predicted it herself, and dodged her. If she had crippled the girl, she'd make sure that Buffy would listen to her, one way or the other.
"They want me to get to him," Darla said, yanking Buffy's cuffs and slamming her against the wall. "They thought I was the key to it."
Buffy grunted before headbutting the vampire out of her way. "To what exactly?"
"Angelus," Darla smiled, like she always did when she thought of that name, of that man she made all those centuries ago. "Nearly worked, too."
"Nearly" being the operative word, Buffy mused, "because if it had worked, you'd still be in L.A., or failing that, I'd have a very nasty surprise awaiting me. But it's only us here, isn't it, Darla? This your great plan? Smack me around? Tell me about a plan that actually failed? Not that this one's going all that well either, huh?" Buffy went to stake Darla, but she wasn't fast enough. Darla grabbed her by the hair and threw her on top of the pool table. Using her right arm to wrap around the Slayer's neck, Darla smiled.
"I don't know," she smiled at the Slayer. "I think it's going better than expected."
"Guess again." Buffy kicked her off. Darla hit the back of a pillar. As Buffy smacked her across the face with both fists, Darla managed to knock the stakes out of her hands before tossing her to another corner.
"You're wrong about things not working, Buffy," Darla warned, "because while he tries to fight it, Angelus is always going to be inside him. It's what he really is. Angel's just a mask. You know it. I know it. Otherwise, why would you still be in Sunnydale and him in L.A.? You failed him as well. I knew you wouldn't last."
"At least he loved me," Buffy got to her feet. "You can't say the same thing."
"We were together for 150 years, Darla pointed out. "That's love. What you had with him doesn't come close to it."
Then Darla heard a snap. Something had just come apart.
"How about we ditch the girl talk and get back to fighting?" Buffy said, showing that she had broken the cuffs. "'Cause this stuff, not all that interesting."
"You want to fight?" Darla smiled.
"Consider it a last request. My gift to you."
This time around, neither Buffy nor Darla held back. Punches, kicks, headbutts were all thrown with defiance and deftness. Darla slammed Buffy's head around a pillar as Buffy returned the compliment with an elbow to the face. During a time when Buffy had been flung to the floor, she found one of the ready-made stakes from the earlier and charged towards the other vampire, stabbing her. Darla looked at her in shock.
"You're done," Buffy gritted.
Then she realized she had gotten Darla in the stomach and not the heart. You fool. Darla laughed through her pain as she smacked Buffy away from her. You arrogant! Darla didn't finish the sentence. Instead, she vomited on the floor a little. It was on top of the blood from her wound that had seeped into the ground. What the hell? Darla said to herself, confused. It was a confusion that she shared with Buffy. Okay, never made a vampire sick before, Buffy chided. She knew it was poor taste, but that fact didn't bother her that much. And again, I do have a strange effect. Don't flatter yourself, Darla growled. She was too weak to fight the Slayer. She needed to leave, and she needed to do it now. I don't enjoy an easy kill as much as you do, Buffy said, cornering Darla like an injured animal. If this had been any low-level vampire, she might have felt a twinge of guilt, but not with Darla. Taking out the woman's connection to Angel, and the fact she had nearly killed her mother, Buffy knew too well how dangerous Darla was. The lives she took, the misery she inflicted, and all this was before she had set her own demonic brat pack up with Angel, Spike, and Drusilla. "Kill me now and get it over with," Darla said. "You still know I'm right, though." "About Angel/Angelus?" Buffy asked. "No, you're wrong. You killed an innocent person and created a monster. That soul of his that you hate so much is the real him. Now I'm going to kill you, and even though I'm not going to feel remorse for it, I'm actually going to be doing you a favor in a roundabout way." Before Buffy could stake Darla, they had been interrupted by Giles, Willow, and Tara, had come in with crossbows at the ready. For Darla, this distraction would be her best opportunity to escape. "About that favor," Darla smiled before throwing Buffy towards her friends. "I'll pass." As Buffy had managed to knock over Giles and Tara, Willow shot a parting arrow, which Darla narrowly missed. The trail of blood she left had Buffy run after her for a bit before she realized that Darla had completely escaped. Back in the Summers' house, Joyce and Dawn had been cleaning up broken glass, smashed furniture. Upon seeing Buffy, Joyce hugged her daughter. "I was worried," Joyce said. "Was it Glory?" "Not just her," Buffy said as she saw Dawn flinch. "No one else knows." "I know," Dawn said. "I was actually worried about you." "Still standing," Buffy joked. "If it wasn't just Glory, then who else?" "That's what I'm going to find out in great detail," Buffy sighed as she went to the phone, miraculously still standing after Glory's trashing of the house. "You know, you could give us a hand," Wesley said as he and Gunn had been lifting more boxes full of files and other assorted items back into the Hyperion. It had been more than a few hours since Angel made his apologies and offered to work for them. There was no time like the present to make the transfer from humble office space to lavish hotel again. "I'm helping," Cordelia said, manning the phones while thumbing through an issue of Marie Claire. "Course you are," Gunn smiled at her. "But some heavy lifting would be helping as well." "Not with these nails," Cordelia wiggled her fingers at them, though they were nearly ruined in demon gunk. She had taken it upon herself to call every client to tell them that Angel Investigations had moved again. Some seemed nonplussed, others were not at home, and she had also disrupted the sleep of three different clients, one of whom was seriously unimpressed. Then the phone rang. "Angel Investigations," Cordelia smiled, almost surprising herself with how she was still enthusiastic, given the hour. "We help the helpless, and now in a better location. How may I help you?" "It's me," a familiar voice sounded at the other end of the line. "Angel there?" "One moment," Cordelia said before yelling, "Angel!" Angel stepped out of the reception area to come into his office, his former office when Cordelia had called him. The look on her face worried him a little. He knew it was going to be hard to win back all of their trust, Cordelia especially. "Buffy," Cordelia said. "Is she... what happened?" "I have no idea," Cordelia handed over the phone to Angel before taking her leave. "I'll give you a minute." "Thanks," Angel replied as she left, closing the door behind you. "Who was that?" Gunn asked, resting in the lobby with Wesley. Both of them looked beat. Cordelia sandwiched herself between them. "Blonde, perky, not as pretty as me," Cordelia trilled, "and one hell of a mean streak when pushed." "Buffy," Wesley guessed dryly. "By the sound of it,
I'm not guessing a social call, Gunn asked.
You can never tell with her, Cordelia said as she then looked at Angel. Though if she sends him over the edge just when he got him back, she'll know what a mean streak really is.
All three of them looked at Angel, slightly worried, tempted to eavesdrop on his conversation with the Slayer, but knowing better not to do so.
He'll be fine, Wesley assured her. I hope you're right, Cordelia smiled forlornly. She had missed Angel during those months of separation. She didn't want to lose him again.
And? Giles had asked.
Some law firm called Wolfram and Hart raised her from the dead, Buffy told him. The same guys that hired Faith to kill Angel last year.
They make the Watchers Council look good, Don muttered, then looked at Giles. No offense.
None taken, Giles smiled at the young girl.
What do we do now? Willow asked.
Shouldn't we go after her?
I'll patrol later and see if I can find her, Buffy looked outside her living room window.
Somehow, though, I think she's gone. Whatever magic that law firm used, I think it might have had side effects. I don't know what it is, but revenge aside, something not right about her.
No way. I'm going to kill that son of a bitch. A couple of days later, in a bathroom, some grotty gas station, Darla looked at her prognosis. Some idiotic woman she had killed suggested the very same thing. The idiot was right. Darla was pregnant. Her first reaction had been to scream at a deafening volume before slaughtering everyone in the gas station. Angel was gonna so pay for this.
All of the characters and universes referenced here are the intellectual copyrighted material of Joss Whedon, the Fox Network, Universal Pictures, and others. This podcast and the stories contained therein are purely for entertainment purposes, and no money or Second Life money was made off of this. All stories are by individuals and used with permission from the author. Strangely Literal is created in Chicago and has no connection or affiliation with Joss Whedon or any other fine podcasts out there. For more information about this show, please check out our website at strangelyliteral.com.
The podcast you are listening to is part of the Between the Lines Studios network. To find more great podcasts, please visit www.betweenthelinesstudios.com.
Grr.
Gah.
Yay, me.